myself. Last one. A lot different. But I'll tell you what I feel for.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
I'd like to say once again that we have enjoyed the fellowship of the ministers of this gathering. All that we have heard, felt, worshiped, praised, given honor and thanks to God. It's been a glorious day.
Praise God.
Word of God preached by many different ministers, and then the great Bible lesson today with Brother Muncie. Good to be with Brother Woodward again in this section.
Praise God.
Fellowship of God's people.
Yes.
The greatest family on earth.
Yes.
That is right. God's family.
Yes. Amen.
And I'm so thankful that I am a part of that family. I remember when I was not a member of the family of God.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Before I preach tonight, I want to tell you why I'm thankful being the family. Just like many of you, to go back to where the Lord found
you. Yes. Yes.
Where you are tonight,
Lord,
I don't have to be told to love Jesus.
That's right.
I'll live.
That's right.
To do right.
That's right.
Lord, you have to be told.
That's right.
But then to have a manual, a bylaw, I couldn't care less.
That's right.
What's in your heart?
That's right.
If it's in your heart, you don't have to have a law to say to love you.
No. That's right.
You just love you.
That's right.
Amen.
You won't have to have a law to say to be this fellowship if you steal, lie, cheat, and gamble. It's in your heart. My daddy was a Pentecostal preacher, secretary and treasurer of the Texas District under the old Brother Blankenship. CAJC. Of course, you saints don't know nothing about the Blankenship, probably, nor the PAJC. But the result of the merge of two different oneness organizations, PCI and PAJC, came together in 1945 to form United Pentecostal Church. Those two organizations came together to make a United Pentecostal Church. They were oneness organization, but they were different. They fellowship one another, preachers preached to one another. But they did not have a unity of the organizational structure. My daddy was a member of the PAJC. He was the secretary and treasurer for the Texas District under Texas District Chairman. Pastor of a good church, had a family of five children, four boys and a girl. I was next to the oldest. I never knew anything from the day that I was born until I was 14 years old but church. That's all I knew. I just go to church, pray, seek God, love the Lord, live right. I can remember in my mind's eye, I don't know the style of my father's preaching, can't remember, but I can remember him preaching. I can remember the expressions on his face. I can see it right now. I can remember some of the sermons that he preached. So one day he just walked to the pulpit, read a letter of resignation of his church, closed his Bible, and took his family and walked out. Sent in his license and his credentials. Say, why are you telling all of that? Because it's going to fit what I'm going to talk about.
Glory.
He took his family and he bought a restaurant. Moved mother and five kids in it. Got him settled down and run off with a town streetwalker and left mother and the five kids to make it alone. We struggled along and mother worked and kept the kids together. After a while, Patricia, she lost out with God. It was just kids. We quit going to church. After a couple of years, kids began to get grown. The oldest brother, he went overseas. Different things happened. The daughter got married. Because of the pressure and the condition of the surrounding community, mother was forced to go into competitive type restaurant service, which had to serve beer. So they bought a license and started serving beer. Can you believe that? Then built a liquor store right next to the cafe and the restaurant and went into the liquor business. Then hired bands to come and have dancing, built a dance hall next to the restaurant. So it all went together. Dancing, drinking, cursing, fighting. One night on the 4th of July, they had a big band out there and a big brawl happened. Fight broke out. One man knocked another and threw a big plate, one of the glass in front of the cafe we had there. This is the kind of terror that us kids lived in. They broke the instruments over one another's heads. When it was all said and done, the place was a shambling of wreck. Blood was even splattered on the ceiling above the platform where the band played. Hitting one another over the head with bottles, people bleeding, lead, screaming women. Kind of a mess. So we stayed in that condition. And finally, I went overseas and was wounded and come back. The Lord got a hold of me. He was one of the best friends I've ever had. The man of God.
Praise God.
Brother D. Many of you probably know him. He knew the family before he ever got married. I knew Sister Dee's when she was a small young lady. She used to go with my brother sometimes. Our family and the Mott family, which was Sister Dee's family, were very close. I do not remember Brother Dee's as a young man. I remember him coming to our house when I was a child, as an evangelist, before he ever married. And then he met Sister Dee's and they married. For long, long years, they didn't have any children. So Brother Dee's had an interest in Daddy. He loved Dad. He loved his family. So he took an interest in us kids, and he'd come to see us. He'd come to the cafe and see us. Talk to mother and talk to his kids. Every time different preachers, old preachers come through, they stop. Talk to mother, talk to the kids, ask about Daddy, where he was. Dad's life got in a mess. Of course, he didn't stay with this woman long. Finally, she dropped him just like she had many, many others. But his home was broken. There he was. Years later, Dad tried after I'd done come back and got in the church. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost and called me to preach. I went and hunted my dad up. First time I ever looked him up, found he was drunk in a beer joint. We never knew, us kids never knew what happened to him for a long, long time. He just left the country. Moved out of the state, finally come back, and I got word he was in some part of the country I was looking for. At Christmas after that, I go hunting. Finally, years later, he'd come back, try to come back to God. But he had bitterness in his heart. He never could get his heart right with God. I tried to get him to come live with me. He wouldn't. So he lived for God for about 6 months a year. Trying to give it up. Went back into sin, had a heart attack, and died lost. through the years, he had four boys, one girl. All of us is in the church except the oldest boy. The other two boys are preachers, like myself. Three preachers out of the group. The Lord got a hold of my heart through Brother Deeds, and I was the first one out of the family to come to God. My first revival, my mother came back to God and prayed through. And then my youngest brother, and then my other brother, and my sister, she married a boy out of the faith, and they did not live for God for many years, and then she came to God. She's in Brother Deeds' church in Houston now. The other two boys called to preach. Both of them pastors churches. And I'm thankful tonight to be in the family of God.
Yes, sir.
Where in the world will the devil lead a soul?
That's right.
Some of you tonight could tell similar stories, or maybe even the world is lost.
Yes.
I said the world is lost.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This world is lost.
Yes.
And they are lost forever.
Yes. Right.
I said forever.
Forever.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
You have such a short time to live in this world.
That's
yes.
True.
Yes.
It's just like the man of God said, your life is as the vapor.
Yes.
It appears for a moment, vanishes away.
Right.
Generation followed generation. Thousands of years have come and go.
Yes.
Men live and die.
Yes.
Their bones lay bleached. Their spirits have departed into the unknown world.
Yes.
Powers of darkness is claimed with a barrier around them they shall never get out. But they live on tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
They live on.
Yes.
Every one of you that's in this building tonight, both sane and sinner, I want you to listen to what I got to say.
Oh,
I feel a lot different tonight
than
I did last night.
Amen.
I want to read from the 16 chapters of the book of St. Luke, verse 23 through 28. Would you stand while we read the Word of God? And in hell he lifted up his eyes. Being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. Dear Lord, tonight,
God, I ask you tonight,
would you take the Word of God, which is your inspired Word, touch every heart quickened to their soul tonight. O Lord, and on the ears to hear, the hearts to receive the Word of God tonight. Let us feel the impact of the foes. Touch the sinner, the backslider, the saint, every one of us tonight. Give us a warning from heaven. Speak to us for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. Lord, I thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'd like to use tonight for our subject God's greatest preachers and witnesses are in hell.
Yes.
I wish they were not so.
Oh, God.
I said, I wish they were not so.
That's right. Amen.
But there not a one of us tonight can preach like a preacher that's preaching in hell tonight.
Amen. Amen.
You're talking about sermons.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about burdens.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're talking about tears.
Yes, sir.
Preachers that are in hell tonight have some sermons to preach.
Yes, sir.
But the sad thing is, they're in the wrong place to deliver them.
Yes.
And what my prayer is tonight, that God would help me to feel in my heart the burden of the lost.
Yes.
Like those that are lost.
Yes,
and that's hard for us to get in that position.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
We're too fleshly, we're too carnal, we're too human.
Yes.
And it's hard for us, and it really never has. I doubt there's ever been a preacher or a saint of God that's ever lived on this earth that ever really come to the full realization of what it is for a soul to be lost.
That's a fact.
Yes,
sir.
I have tried to feel what it would be like for a soul to be lost.
Yes.
I have tried to put myself in the place of my oldest brother that is lost.
Yes.
I've tried to put myself, since my dad has died, I've tried to go where he was in eternity and visualize in my mind where he is and what he's doing and how he feels and what he sees with his eyes and what he hears with his ears. And I've laid awake at night and I've got his old Bible and all of his sermons that he preached for years back. Sometimes I go back and I get those old sermons and I look at them and I say to myself, I wished I could put myself in a place and could feel what it would be like to be a preacher and to be in hell, lost without God. The first thing tonight that I want to impress on your mind is of the fact that there is a hell.
Yes.
And don't you ever forget.
That's the truth.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every backslider sinner in this building tonight, I want you to know that there is a literal hell.
Yes,
yes, sir.
I want you to understand that.
Yes, sir.
Before I get into the body of this message, I want to establish the fact that there is a hell. And
yes,
I want
sir.
You to believe it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
You
yes,
better
sir.
To believe it.
Yes,
amen.
If there was not a hell, we are wasting our time. We're spending our money in vain.
Yes,
we are the biggest deceived
yes,
bunch of people in the world if there's not a hell.
Yes,
that's right. I said we're deceived. We're the biggest. We're the biggest deceived group of people in all the world if there is absolutely no hell.
You're right.
That's right.
What are we here for tonight if there is no hell?
Right. Amen.
If you, all of you out there sitting on these pews that's lost tonight, if you're not going to hell, we're wasting our time here tonight and you're here in vain. You'd be better off if you just be home asleep or doing anything else besides being here at church. It would be no advantage for you to be here if there was not a hell. But the Bible teaches that there is a hell. The Word of God declares 247 times in 27 books of the New Testament, an average of 9 times per book, that there is a literal hell, Gehenna, fire that you're going to burn in forever and ever. Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven.
Right.
He was the greatest preacher on hell
right.
that this world has ever known.
Yes,
he taught his disciples that there was a hell.
Yes.
Took them out on the outside of Jerusalem.
Yes.
Showed them a heap that was a burning.
That's right.
Burning with maggots and refuse from the garbage of the city.
Yes.
And he talked to them and explained that there was a literal Gehenna hell
yes.
that would burn forever. That the worm died, not the fire shall never be quenched. Friend of mine, there is a hell tonight.
Yes,
I mean a literal hell.
Yes.
That burns. That
The whole teaching of it all, the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, tell you what's going to happen to them if they stand in the judgment line to be judged and condemned and cast into a lake of fire that burns forever and ever and ever and ever. And do you know what that word ever means? Everybody say it, forever.
Forever.
Say it again, forever.
Forever.
Say it again, forever.
Forever.
What does that mean? Without any ending to it.
Right.
Amen.
Bible teaches what hell is really like, what it is. Teaches that it's a horrible place. It's a lake of fire. Compares it a lot of times to different things. It says it's a bottomless pit. It's an everlasting burning. It's a place where there is no rest, day nor night. It's a place where people gnaw their tongues for pain. A place where they are for eternity. And they are eternally crying out for help that never comes.
Yes.
That's the sad thing about it.
Oh, God.
If they could get out.
Yes.
They're crying for help that never comes.
Yeah.
That's what the rich man said.
Yeah.
Give me some help.
Give me some help.
But he never got it.
Right.
I wish that God, the purgatory was true, Brother
Monty.
Yes.
Yes. It's not that way.
I wish it was true.
Yes.
I wish it was true.
Yes.
I wish you could get out.
Yes.
I wish you could spend 1,000 years and then you could somehow be delivered and get out and go to heaven.
Oh, yes.
This scripture tells us it's a place of torment, a place of flame, and a place where there would be no water.
Yes.
One of the saddest things, I guess, that I ever witnessed in my life, the young little lady that was backslid one time, out of my church, and she called me. I didn't know her daddy. And she called me. She said, Brother Magneto, would you come pray for my dad? I said, be glad to. And I went over there. She was at the house. Had the dad at the house. When I walked in the door, it was in the summertime, and she had the room closed off, and her daddy was laying in there. And when I opened the door, I looked at an elderly gentleman laying there unconscious, and his eyes was closed, his mouth was open, and he was dying. I said, Katie, what in the world are you doing? She said, Daddy went into coma. I said, I called a doctor. He'd been in the hospital, in and out, in and out, in and out. And they'd sent him home for a few days, and he went in this coma all of a sudden. She called a doctor, and the doctor come over to the house and said, it's no use to take him back to the hospital. There's not one thing we can do. He's only just a matter of hours, and he's gone. So there's no use for it. I'll do what I can for him while we're here, and when he's gone, there's nothing we can do. And if I took him to the hospital, there still wasn't nothing to do. But he lasted a little longer than what the doctor had expected until he lived for 2 or 3 days. Of course, he was dehydrated, and his mouth was parched, and his blood was running hot, and his fever was raging, and his lips were swelled, and his tongue was swelled, and his mouth was swelled, and I walked and I looked at that and him laying there in that condition, and I just couldn't hardly stand it. I said, is there anything, Katie, that you can do to give him a drink of water? She said, no, Brother McNeil. He said, I tried yesterday to give him a drink of water just from a straw. I just held a little bit in the end of a straw, and I just barely put it in his mouth and said he got strangled on it and said he can't swallow and he don't know what he's doing. He can't realize to swallow. And I tried to get him to swallow. And said, the doctor told me not to try to give him no more water. I said, get me a white cloth and a cube of ice. So she went and got me a white cloth and a cube of ice. And I put that cube of ice in that white cloth. And I let it kind of melt a little bit and get moisture on the white cloth. I took that cold white cloth moist rag. She said, Brother McNeely, don't let him get no water down his throat. Said, he'll strangle and I can't stand it. Said, yesterday I almost went into hysterics. He got strangled. He turned blue and he's almost dying. I raised him up. I beat him and I said, I'd like to never got him back to life. I said, I promise you, I just want to touch his lips. And I stood there. He's unconscious and had been for a couple of days. And I took that cold cloth and that rag, the ice in it. I just kind of moved it across his lips like that. At first, he was in such a deep coma till he never did realize that I had touched his lips with that cold cloth. But then as I began to repeat the process, and I'd rub it across his mouth like that, and I just kind of hold it and kind of go slow. And even in his unconsciousness, wherever he was, in his unconscious world, his lips and his tongue began to reach for wherever that was coming from. He did not know where it was coming from, because he was not conscious that I was standing at his bedside, that his daughter was there and the family was there. He was not conscious wherever. I don't know where he was. But wherever he was, as I began to rake that across his lips, he began to reach for it. And when I would take it away, he would come. He would follow with his mouth and with his tongue and try to reach and find where it went. He wanted to get it back.
Yeah.
He wanted to get it back.
Yeah.
Oh, and I stayed there, and I rubbed it across his mouth for hours, hours, until finally he passed on out of this life into eternity, where he will not have anybody to touch his lips with a cold cloth. That's what the rich man said. He said, send somebody. He said, I'm not asking you for a drink of water. I'm not asking you for a cup. I don't want a glass. But if you just let somebody, Lazarus in particular, just take his finger. That's all I'm asking for. And just let him dip his finger in just a cold glass of water. And after it had dripped all off, and just one little drop is left on there, if you could let that one little drop stay on that finger and come over here to where I am in the hell, and just let me stick my tongue out and just let that one little drop touch it, they said I would be so happy. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. I don't ask for nothing else. A place where there is no water. A place where you would desire water, but yet you will never find it. What a horrible thing to think about. What a horrible place to be in, where you can never get out. Sinner, let me tell you something. That's where you're going. But you don't have to go there. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in Jesus' name. You can be saved tonight and go to heaven, where you got a beautiful river of living water flowing down to the center.
Out of his banquet table. He couldn't care less about that beggar out there that didn't have anything to eat. He didn't care a bit about when he had money in his pocket and in the bank and stocks and bonds and service and banquets and concubines and service and prosperity and everything else. He didn't care a bit about. He wasn't worried about. He wasn't concerned about the condition of the surroundings that surrounded him. He went right on. He didn't care nothing about the sickness of that beggar. He didn't care nothing about it. He cared nothing about his own self. But the moment that he got in hell, he automatically became concerned about his brothers. There was a dying lost back in the face of this earth. Oh God, he automatically became concerned about his own lost condition. He wanted something done about it. Well, this is the time, saints of God. This is the time, preacher, to get ready and to get excited. It's too late when they're gone to hell. No use for me to pray for my daddy.
No.
All I could pray that he'd never get him back.
No.
Never.
Never.
Now he wants Abraham to send Lazarus over there to his brother's house, to his father's house. He said, well, he's got Moses and the prophets. He said, I don't care. He said, I just don't think they can do the job. I don't think they feel it like it needs to be felt. I don't think they got the kind of burden that if you could just send somebody that has been on this side.
Yeah.
If you could just somehow send somebody, Lazarus looking. He's in Abraham's bosom, but he's looking down. He sees where I am.
Yeah.
He feels it. He knows what I'm in.
Yeah.
He sees my torment. He feels the burden of it.
Yeah.
I believe if you could bring one that raised him from the dead, take him from the other side of the world.
Uh-huh.
Take a man that feels it. Take a man that sees it.
Yes.
Take a man that's experiencing it.
Yes.
Nobody can tell a story like the man that's experiencing it. If you could take this man and send him back to my father's house, they'll hear him.
Yes.
They'll hear him. Oh, I wonder tonight, saints of God, and minister friends of mine, I wonder if there's people in hell that is afraid that we're not doing the job like that they want it done.
Oh.
I pray tonight that we're not preaching with a kind of a burden and the fervency and the desire that they would like for us to get the gospel. Do we feel tonight what we are preaching?
Oh,
and we feel the impact of a lost soul tonight. That's lost without God.
Oh, God.
And out there to burn forever. Never get out. Never get out. Never get out. Never get out. Preacher, too carnal.
Yes.
I don't want to trust the eternal destiny of my five brethren in the hands of that preacher.
Right.
He's too carnal.
Yes.
Oh, he's too carnal.
Too
he don't feel it.
Right.
He don't pray.
Right.
He don't have it born in it.
Right.
He don't feel the impact of what it is for soul to die lost and go to hell. I can't trust him. I can't trust him.
Right.
He's got his mind on making money.
Yeah.
He's got his mind on carnality.
Yes.
He's got his mind on something else. Send somebody that's got a burden. Send somebody that's got experience. Send somebody that feels the impact of a burning hell. Back to my father's house. Oh, because he'll preach with a burden. He'll preach with tears in his eye. He'll preach a feeling the flames of hell that's surrounding the soul that he's trying to drag out. He'll take and do everything he can to preach the word of God. But all the prayers that he has, he'll pray, he'll fast, he'll see God. Oh, God, tonight give us preachers that can feel what this is. Give us preachers that's got a burden for us. Give us preachers. Oh, here we are, 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 here we are. The destiny of your soul and the destiny of the souls of your children is in my hands.
Yes.
And in the hands of these preachers.
Yes.
Do I feel in my soul what it would be like for one of you, one of my saints, or one of my saints' children to slip out of my grasp into eternity to lost forever?
Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
Preachers like to be hard sometimes, and they like to try to be hard.
Yeah.
But I'd like to be merciful.
That's right.
I'll tell you what.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you what, preachers.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather stand before God but give it too much mercy.
Yes, sir.
Than I had to stand before Him not giving enough.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Because that soul.
Yes, sir.
is an eternal soul.
Yeah,
I mean, it's forever. And when you cross this line, when you cross the line from your life into the next one, friend, it's forever.
Yes,
it is.
That's
true. It's forever. So he was not concerned until after he got to hell, and then he became a great witness and a great intercessor and a great preacher and a great everything. Well, if God could take all of us preachers on a tour of 5 minutes of hell tonight, that's all it would take. Just to let my ears hear. I've actually prayed that prayer. God has never honored it yet. He may someday. Maybe I couldn't stand it. I don't know. But I've actually asked God to help me to hear the screams and the cry of the millions of souls that are in eternity lost without God. I've asked Him to help me to feel it, what it would be like. Because if you actually got that, you feel that, you hear that, you see that, it'll take the foolishness out of you.
Amen.
Yes, it will. It'll take the foolishness out of you. You won't have no time to play. It's not a, this is not something to play with. No, sir, friend, we're in this thing for life or death.
Yes, sir.
Eternity is at stake.
Yes,
your eternal destiny and my eternal destiny is at stake.
Amen.
I hold in my hand thousands of people in Mesquite that's lost without God that I must try to reach before the end time comes or before they die lost without God.
Yes.
Help me to be concerned about it.
Yes.
Help me to feel the heartbeat of it.
Yes.
Let me hear the cry. Let me understand it's no 5 minutes of a tour over the mouth of hell to see the screams and the cries would make a lot of difference in the attitude of a lot of Sunday school teachers that stand in their Sunday school class that mess around like Brother Munson talked about.
Yes,
running there late on Saturday night trying to figure out what the lesson is all about.
Yes,
coming out there with no burden, and there's little children and adults that you hold in your hand. Their eternal destiny is going to be determined by what they receive out of the future that they and our Sunday school classes and sit on our pews. Oh God, we got to reach them. That Sunday school teacher has got to have a burden. They got to feel what it is. But they're going to go. They're going to go. And if you stand before that class and you recognize that every one of those peoples is a hell-bound soul,
yes. Right.
You'll weep over them.
Yes, sir.
You'll study that lesson.
Yes, sir.
You'll put the word in them.
Yes.
You'll be an example to them.
Yes,
yes you will.
Yes.
If you feel it.
Amen.
I bet if you feel it.
Amen.
You could get a tour to hell tonight and you could be brought back. God would give you a chance to sit in that Sunday school class in the morning. I guarantee you your life would be different. You would teach different. There would be tears in your eyes. You would be consecrating your life, dedicating yourself to God, trying to reach those souls and try to get a breakthrough before they die lost without God. Oh, backslider that's in this building tonight, do you understand that you lost without God? Do you understand that if you die, that you're going to go to hell? That you're never getting back? Oh, sinner tonight, do you understand that? Preachers and saints of God, do you understand your responsibility to get the message and to be the kind of preacher and the kind of saint of God and the kind of witness that God has called you to be?
Oh, God.
Oh, if the mothers, if every mother in this building tonight could look over in hell to the mothers that are in hell,
yes,
that still have children on this earth, just like this man had brothers on this earth. What kind of praying do you think that mother is doing tonight in hell, in eternity lost, but yet think she's got a son and she's got a daughter that's still on this side. If every mother in this building tonight could pray for your children that's here tonight, even in this building.
Yes.
Or that's lost.
Yes.
In this world.
Yes.
If you could weep for your children.
Yes.
Like the mother that's in hell is weeping for hers.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
God would move on your children.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If every mother could have a burden like Rachel had.
Yes.
She wept for days. She, the Bible says she lamented. Great lamentation.
Yes.
You know what lamentation is? It is a burden to such an extent that you can no longer utter a word. All you can do is groan it out.
Yes.
As if you were dying. Oh. That's all that you can hear. It's great lamentation. You can't say a word. It's too hard. It's pressing you too much. You've got too much of a burden. All you can do is just moan it out. You can't say nothing. For days she did that. They come. They put their arms around and said, "Honey, you just need to quit fasting. You just fasted too long. You just got such a great burden now. You better get up." And they tried to comfort her. The Bible said there was a voice. Yeah, there was a voice. There was a voice that was heard in Ramah, the Bible said.
Yeah.
Who was that voice? Where was that voice coming from? It was coming from Ramah somewhere.
Yeah.
What was that voice? It was the voice of a mother.
Yeah.
I said it was the voice of a mother that had lost children.
Yeah.
And the Bible said that she wept and she cried with great lamentation and weeping. They came to comfort her, but she refused to comfort her. And she shoved them away.
Oh.
She said, "I'm not going to be comforted. All of my children are down in captivity. And they're under bondage of sin. And they lost without God. They turned to idolatry. They left the true church of God." Oh, mothers tonight, where are your children lost without God? If there could be a voice heard in this church tonight, if there could be a voice of every mother that's here in this building tonight, that you could pray and fast and cry to God like Rachel cried for her children. I want you to know you get an answer just like Rachel got. The very next scriptures on down the line, God said, "I heard you cry, Rachel."
Yes.
Thank God.
I'm going to bring him out.
Thank God.
I'm going to bring him out.
Yes.
I'm going to bring him out.
Yes.
Oh, God. That mother that you're crying in hell tonight for that boy or that girl is still living somewhere in this world. She's the same God. Could you send a preacher to that town? Or could you move on him with a burden that he would preach it so hot and so strong that my boy would come under conviction and my girl would turn from her wayward way and her wayward sin and come to God? What kind of a praying is a mother doing in hell tonight? I'm telling you what kind. It's custom. It's custom. It's lamenting. It's waiting. It's gnawing the tongue. Oh, God, don't let my daughter come here. Oh, God, don't let my son come here. Dear God, give that preacher a burden. Dear God, move on that man. Dear God, let the mission fall tonight. Dear God, let it have a battle. Dear God, let it fall in pain. Oh, God. Jaws of death bringing this world is an eternal soul.
Yes.
And did you know they're dying by the millions? Every man on the face of the earth will die. Your child will die. You will die. Over 50 million will die before the year 1976 is over. Do you hear what I said? 50 million? 50 times the population of Dallas, Texas, will die in 1976.
50 million gone into eternity, lost without God. And maybe one of your children might be among them. Oh, if you mothers and daddies could pray tonight like that daddy and mama was praying in hell. If you brothers that have brothers here that's lost or somewhere that's lost. And I've often thought, I said, oh God, if I could pray for my brother that's lost without God like the rich man prayed for his.
Yes.
Maybe God could save him.
Yes.
The only one out of the family that's lost. Oh God, save him, Lord, save him, save him.
Oh, yes.
I woke up the other night. I had a dream, and I dreamed that I was lost. I just dreamed that, I don't know what made me dream. I just dreamed as if that, I guess it was just maybe the Lord was trying to answer my prayer to let me really feel what it would be like to be lost. That's the only thing I could figure out because I searched my heart. I tried to see if there was anything. I got up in the middle of the night. I just woke up with shaking and tears. I was just weeping in my sleep, and I just woke up and I was just weeping just uncontrollably. I even woke my wife up weeping. She kind of nudged me and said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" And all of a sudden, I just woke up just, and my face was just covered with tears. And I was just shaking, and I said, "My God, I've had the most terrible dream I've ever had in my life." She said, "What in the world was it?" I just got up on the side of the bed, and I just weeping, just bawling.
Yes.
Just as if I was lost. I mean, if it was just as real as I was lost.
Yes.
So I got up, put on my clothes, and went in the living room, and watered it out before the Lord in the wee hours of the morning, searching my heart, the Word of God, to see if the Lord was really trying to show me that I was actually lost, maybe. And then the Spirit of God came and impressed me and let me to know that just put the burden on me.
Yes.
Let me just kind of get a little more feeling of what it would be like
yes.
to die lost without God. That maybe I could put a little more exertion, a little more power, a little more praying, a little more fasting, a little more concern, a little more dedication, a little more spirit into what I've been trying to preach for the last 25 years.
Yes.
And I said, "Dear God, let me feel it. Let me feel that, dear God, because I've got souls that I'm responsible for. Help me to pray. Help me to seek your face, oh God, as if that it was real to me." He let me have that dream. So I began to pray for my brother. And I asked God to help me to pray for him like the rich man prayed for his. If children tonight could pray, it's in this building that you've got parents that died and lost without God. If you could pray for the members of those that are still on the face of this earth like they are praying for you, we'd have revival.
All right.
I said we'd
all
have
right.
revival.
All right. Yeah. Amen.
You'd have revival.
That's a fact.
Oh, the backslidden preachers. Oh, Brother Blankenship. Maybe some of you older preachers know him. Oh, Brother Blankenship was also the chairman. He was the same, had held the same position as Brother Price holds in California. He got bitterness in his heart. I knew Brother Blankenship. I remember when I was just a child, went to his home. I could see him in my mind's eye right now when I was just a young lad. We go to his house. I can remember wearing those white suits. I remember sitting on the platform and taking charge as a chairman of the organizational structure of the Texas District. I can remember. He got bitterness in his heart. And he backslid also and lost out with God.
Oh,
just about 10 miles from where my daddy died with a heart attack. He died also in a motel room with cigarette butts and ashes all over his table and sitting there drinking at a table, drinking beer, and went into some kind of a heart stupor. And he was dead and was in there 2 or 3 days before anybody ever found him.
Oh,
died lost without God.
Oh,
that's the face of God. You don't have it made yet. Preachers, we don't have it made yet.
Yeah.
No, don't you ever worry about it. You're not there yet. I said, you're not there yet. We still got a battle to fight.
Yeah.
There's a world that's lost without God tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, God, help me to feel the impact of it. Dear God, help me to feel the battle of it. Preachers, try to learn to pray, but we learn to preach without prayer.
Our God.
You cannot live for God successfully without prayer.
that take that sin off.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You're stinking the nostrils of God's nose.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
You got to preach it where they can feel it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If a sinner don't feel this message tonight, it's not the sinner's fault. It's not the word of God's fault. No, it's the preacher's fault.
Yes, sir.
Sure. I get myself in a place with God and I'm called of the Lord and I've got the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, you will feel it when I preach it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't you ever worry about that.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't feel it, you put the blame where it belongs. It belongs on the man that's supposed to be the preacher.
That's right.
For it was through the foolishness of preaching that he chose to save them that was lost.
That's right.
The thing that stirred their heart on the day of Pentecost is because they felt what the man was a preacher.
Yes, sir.
The thing that caused old Felix to tremble in his knees and knock together and almost having a spiritual nervous breakdown is because he felt what that man was saying.
Yes,
he felt it, my friend.
Yes,
when he began to reason on the judgment of God and on righteousness and on the day that he was going to stand and give an account for the deeds that were done in his body, whether they be good or evil, and whether he laid it down alive. And whenever he began to preach it, he felt it. His heart was smitten, and the word of God was quickened to his soul.
Yes.
And his conviction hit him, and he began to shake, and his knees spoke one against the other, and had a nervous dip right there, so to speak, because he felt what that man was a preaching. Hallelujah. Has that God let us defeat it tonight? Has that God let me have the burden? Has that God let me know what it is? Let me feel it, Lord. Let me feel it. Don't ever let me get away from it.
That's right.
Never let me get away from it.
Amen.
If I could preach tonight, I know I can't. Like that backslidden preacher could preach.
Yes.
If God somehow could move me through the Spirit out of the way and just let my daddy come. Just let move me out of the way. Let me disappear and just let him appear right here. You talking about a sermon.
Yes, sir.
You talking about preaching.
Yes, sir.
Another one.
Yes, sir.
You talking about moaning and travail. You talking about telling you some stories.
Yes, sir.
That make the hair rise on your head.
Yes, sir.
If he could come and tell you tonight what his eyes just looking at.
Yes, sir.
What are you seeing, Daddy? What are you seeing out there? Where are you tonight? What part of that vast? I've often got out in the night, looked up in the stars, and tried to figure out where Daddy was. I tried to figure it out.
Yeah.
I never have been able to figure out where he is.
Yeah.
I don't know where that vast domain is that God has a good fix. But it's there, it's fixed.
Yeah.
He's got it fixed somehow or another.
Amen.
And when I look out, look how vast it is. How vast this universe is. We're just a galaxy that we just belong. Our planet just belongs and just as a part of the Milky Way galaxy. But there's many more galaxies on the outside of the Milky Way galaxy that we have never even come in contact with. The closest star to this Earth is 18 light years, is 12 light years away from this Earth. And there's only 18 stars that is even that close to this Earth. Now, do you know how far? Do you know how far this Earth is from the closest star to this Earth? It is 12 light years away. A light year is the distance that light can travel. Traveling at 186,000 miles per second in 12 months. It's over 5 trillion miles. 5 trillion miles. 12 times 5 trillion miles gives you the distance to the closest star to this Earth.
Yes.
But yet, when you get out there and you look at the stars, they don't look very far away. They look pretty close together. But the closest stars together is 3.5 million miles apart.
Yes.
That's how big this universe is that you're looking at.
Come on.
When you get out there tonight, you look at the stars and find the two that you can that's closest together. They are 3.5 million miles apart. Now, how far you think that star is over here from that one over here in the horizon? If these two up here that seem to be right next to one another is 3.5 million miles apart, how far do you think that one that you're looking at over here and that one that you're looking at over there is apart?
Yes, sir.
When
Yet God said he's got a vast domain out here somewhere.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You say, well, he don't have a place big enough to get all the millions that's a dying. Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, yes. Oh,
oh yes. Yeah. He's got no places, problem, honey. Don't you ever worry about that.
Right.
And I've often got out on the stars, and I've looked up in the night, and I try to figure out, now, how far are you away, Daddy? Your old body, we put it in the clay. It's 6 feet on the ground. We put some flowers and we cried at your funeral. But where are you tonight? If he could come back and he could tell us what he could see. If he could tell us tonight what where he's been. And the thing that his ears has heard. And the cries that he's heard to cry out. And the thing that his eyes have seen. My God sent. He would have to give an altar call. You'd be clawing at his feet. You'd be stuffing his mouth. You'd be trying to tell him to shut up and give your chest. God, help me to feel it. Help me to feel it. Help every one of us as preachers to feel it. Quit faking it out.
Yes, sir.
Hypocriting it around.
Yes, sir.
Get down to business with God. We got a world on our shoulder that's lost and going to hell. And we do everything under the world except try to win them.
That's right.
Oh, God, our time is occupied with every kind of a little old Tom, Dick, and Harry thing that don't amount to a hill of beans. And 100 years from now, it'll all be over.
Yes.
And millions of people are lost and dying and going to hell. And we got our mind on everything else except trying to get a hold of God and trying to have revival and trying to get under burden and trying to feel the effects of it and trying to know what it is to be for a soul to be lost without God. If I could just somehow reach just one soul that's in this building tonight, that's lost without God, it would be worth everything that I can do to reach your soul. And I promise you one day, I am doing everything in my power to reach your soul tonight. If I don't reach it, it will be because that I don't have the ability to reach it. I'm trying, my friend, I'm trying. I promise you that I'll give you all of God. When I face you again at the judgment, and you don't come to this altar tonight when I give an altar call, I'll stand before you. It's the judgment day of God. And you can look me square in the face.
Yes.
And when God calls for me to give an account for the message I'm preaching tonight, and to give an account why you didn't come to the altar, whose fault was it?
Yes.
Jesus is going to ask that question.
Yes.
Was it your fault? Or was it the sinner's fault? I said, I set you to be a watchman.
Yes, a watchman.
You don't sound the alarm?
Yes, sir.
The enemy comes in and destroys them.
Yes.
Then your hands will be dripping with the blood.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's hands is going to be dripping.
Yes, sir.
With the blood of every lost soul that's in this building tonight.
That's a fact.
Amen.
And I'm going to promise you one thing. It won't be my hands dripping with your blood when I get through tonight, for I will have delivered my soul. If you walk out of here and die lost without God, you'll stand at the judgment day and I'll stand with you. And I'll say again at the judgment, Lord, I've done my best.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I've
done
my best. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. So if I could
preach
tonight, like that backslid preacher could preach, that's in hell. Oh, God, what a sermon we would hear.
Yes, sir.
Yes, amen.
If all you young boys and girls that's in this building tonight could pray like a little 19-year-old boy is praying tonight, that I walked back one Sunday night and put my hand around his shoulder after I got through preaching and I knew he was under conviction. And I put my arm around him and I said, son, would you like to come and pray tonight? And he took his hand and slung my hand away from his shoulder and said, no, I don't want to pray. About that time a burden hit me and I put my arm around his waist and I said, look, son, you may not ever get another chance to come to hear another sermon like you've heard tonight. And he just took my hand, moved it away from him, started moving me out of the way. Oh, it's the same old story, said, just preachers talking. He shoved me out of the way. He went out the door.
I come back to the front, and I call the church around. We knelt, we prayed, had some other sinners there, and we prayed with them. After a while, the Spirit lifted, and lights just cut out, and it was dark, and we all went home. This is on a Sunday night, Tuesday night, 3:30 in the morning, my phone rang. And on the other end of the line was the voice of a mother. And that voice was screaming, "Brother McNeely, Brother McNeely, Brother McNeely, come, come, come quick. My boy had just been killed in a car wreck." I jumped up, grabbed my clothes, put them on, ran over there. Only boy they had. One side of that house was the daddy, up in the corner with his head buried in his hands. You never heard such sobbing in your life. On the other side of that room was the mother, sprawled out on that floor with her hands in her hair. And she was screaming to the top of her voice, "My baby, my baby, my baby, my baby, my baby." And when I walked in, I was dumbfounded. The screams of those, of that daddy and that mother, it hit me like a dagger. I was speechless. I wanted to say something to help them, to comfort them. I couldn't say a word because of the depth of that sorrow. It was beyond the reach of human words. They would never hear anything that I had to say because what I had to say would never reach the dimension of suffering and sorrow that they was in.
Yes.
They was in a dimension
right.
that I was not in.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And after a while, I just stood there in the middle of the floor, tears streaming down my face. I couldn't say nothing. After a while, they turned and looked at me, and the mother got up, and she come to where I was. She just grabbed me around the neck. She said, "Brother McNeely, is my baby in hell? Is my baby in hell?" What could I answer her? What could I say? A boy 19 years old that took the preacher's hand and slung it away from him and said, "Leave me alone. I don't want to pray," and walk out with that kind of a spirit. And 2 days later, die in a car wreck, lost without God. "Brother McNeely, is my baby in hell? Is my baby in hell?" Oh, if her baby tonight, 19 years old, could somehow appear through that door.
Yes.
He could come down this aisle.
Yes, sir.
He could appear in the raiment that he would come out of hell with.
Yes.
If he could appear with his hands on fire.
Yes.
If he could appear with his feet on fire.
Yes.
If he could walk down that aisle burning, and you could see the flames of his head.
Yes.
You could smell the smoke of his torment.
Yes.
You could see the suffering of his eyes.
Yes.
If you could actually see a man, a boy just 19 years old, that come out of hell, that come out of that aisle and walk down this aisle. All in the world that you have to do is for him to come and stand here. Let him come out of hell tonight. I'll guarantee you, every last one of you went into these tears. The saint, the backslider, the sinner, the preacher, every last one of us in this altar. Then somebody's got a verse for my soul. Then somebody, dear God, that can preach with the kind of conviction that will move the soul that's hardened against the gospel.
Yes, 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 yes.
Talking about preaching.
Yes,
you talking about moaning.
Yes,
you talking about moving a congregation.
Yes,
sinner, don't let it be said that you die lost without God. For tonight, if you could see a sinner that's in hell, they will never get out.
Okay.
If you could see yourself tonight,
wake up in the night of thanking the Lord that He had mercy on my soul. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to dig me out of that beer joint, that hell, Lord. But somehow He had mercy on me. And I could have been just like a lot of the preacher's boys. I could have been bitter. I could have hated. I could have hated. But somehow He softened my heart. And I'm so glad that He did. I go to the church. And it's dark. We don't have windows in our church. It's dark. And I just go there sometimes. And I just go and I just walk.
Yes.
I just walk. And I just thank Him. And I just thank Him. And I just thank Him. And I just
praise
God.
Yes.
My daddy was my age when he left my mama. 46 years old. 5 kids. And I pray a lot of times. I said, I go places and they tell me what a great preacher my dad was. My mother-in-law, I married a girl from Cleveland, and her mother was Pentecostal, and she told me after we married, she said one night, she said, we never heard of Brother McGee. She said, we went to a district conference and come to our city, and we went. She said, when they announced the speaker was going to be Brother S.L. McNeely, said, I just kind of slumped in my chair and said, there was Brother Foss, and there was Brother Kid Rose, and there was Brother Dillon, and there was Brother Tracy Bootlier, and there's all them good preachers up there, and here there was a bit this little old fella up there to preach. But she said, when he got through, she said, I had to get down between the pew, and I had to ask God to forgive me. She said, I never heard such preaching in all my life.
Oh, yes.
And people everywhere I go tell me what a great preacher my dad was. And then I get to thinking, here I am, falling in the line. Oh God, don't let me get carnal like he did.
Right.
Don't let me get lifted up like he did.
Right.
Don't let me quit praying like he did.
Yes.
Don't let the devil get a hold of my mind like it got a hold of his. Oh God, keep me. I can't keep myself. I gotta hide behind the shadow of the cross.
Yeah.
I gotta stay covered with the precious blood that flows from the head. You gotta take that hand, that blood, and you gotta touch me with it every now and then.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you have. You gotta lay your hand on me. You gotta touch me, Lord. I can't learn it. I can't live for God by myself. Oh, no, sir. I can't do it. Be ready. Let me tell you something. You gotta have God. You gotta have God. You gotta have God. This altar tonight, and you will pray like that sinner as hell is a praying, you won't be down here 3 seconds until you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now, if you come down here just messing around, you're not going to get a thing.
That's right.
But if you come and you really mean business with God, and you want to be saved, and you don't want to go to a devil's hell, and you will actually pray the prayer like they are praying in hell tonight to get out of there. If you'll pray hard as they praying to keep from going, as they're praying to try to get out, I'm going to promise you this one thing. You'll receive the Holy Ghost before you ever get down here. I guarantee that. But you got to clean yourself of all sin. And you got to humble your heart and strip yourself of all your self-righteousness. And all your words. Carnality. You gotta mean business with God. You can't stand the fifth. You can't play with God. You gotta get in and stand. You gotta mean business to be saved. You can't play religion. This is a time to mean business with God. Preachers. Oh, they call
people in hell tonight is calling for.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, I'm just exhausted. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Oh, God. Oh, God, lift your hands and pray for me.